Blog Talk Radio.
There it is. We're doing this. Thank you so much for joining me. This is Eric Terrell. We're doing this, people. We're doing a radio show. Let me tell you something. The city controller of Philadelphia will be here on the show. So stay tuned. Stay tuned. A few things I want you to stay tuned for, okay? First of all, the Philadelphia city controller is going to be here. The city controller of Philadelphia on the Eric Terrell Show. I'm also going to reveal on this first episode of this election 2016 series, I'm going to reveal who's winning. Okay? I'm just, in case you haven't been paying attention, in case, like most people, you choose to avoid CNN at this moment and you prefer means of information like the Eric Terrell Show, then I've got you covered, okay? I want to thank you for joining me because a lot of people don't want to hear anything about politics, but we're going to have some fun with it and we're going to have some good insight. Another thing that I'm going to reveal to you are some interesting predictions, okay? Some interesting predictions on this episode. Interesting predictions. You're going to find out who's winning in the polls, and like I said, you're going to want to hear from the Philadelphia City Controller. He's going to call in, I hope. hopefully he joins us. I have been told by his office that he will be calling in. So we'll see if we can hear from the Philadelphia City Controller, Alan Butkiewicz, the city controller. Now, I'm not embarrassed to admit that leading up to the show, you know, a week ago, I had no idea what a city controller was. I had no clue. What is a city controller? What does the Philadelphia city controller do? Like, what is the city controller? I know a lot of people are shaking their heads right now, like, man, you really have no idea what the city controller does? And others are shaking their head thinking, why would you even admit that? And I think about half of my listeners are looking around thinking, well, what the hell is a city controller? You know? Well, the city controller of Philadelphia is one of the 9 elected offices in the executive branch of the city. And he's the CFO of this public body. He coordinates and directs financial planning, budgeting, procurement, and investment activities. So now that we know, I'm excited to talk to him in a few short moments. Let me say first of all that on November 17th, I will be at I believe Harris Casino. I think that's where I'll be. The address is 512 Avenue of the States in Chester, PA. So make of that what you will. That's where I'll be performing. And on November 27th, I'll be at Bourbon and Branch. Okay. Now, I know I'm just awesome at giving out details about where I perform, but listen, if you're on the email list, then you'll get the real details. I tend to know nothing about what I'm doing until I have to send that big email and make that Facebook post or whatever. But I hope to see you guys out there. I do hope to see you out there. I got to tell you, as we begin this episode on this wonderful election 2016 series, that the thing that I'm looking most forward to next Tuesday is a day off from work. Okay, you know, I kind of forgot that they actually cancel work. You know, it's election day, but that's a day. It's been a while since I haven't been required to be at work, and I'm excited to not have to go to work. So that's exciting about November 8th. I'm excited not to have to go to work, and I'm performing that night as well at the Stress Factory Comedy Club on an election night comedy show. So that's cool. So you can find me there. Those are two things that I can't wait for next Tuesday. There's something else happening next Tuesday. There's something else happening, and I'm sure you all know what that thing is that's happening. Many of us don't like to think about it at this time around more than any other time. And as we lead into this episode, I want to say something. I want to shout out somebody. I want to shout out my friend Venus, who I used to work with. My friend Venus gave me one of the best compliments, maybe the greatest compliment that I've ever gotten before. Now, I think anytime we're given a compliment that we've never gotten before, it's a pretty memorable compliment, because until somebody tells you something about yourself, you can think it all you want, but you don't necessarily know that that's something that describes you. But Venus gave me a compliment, and I've never gotten this compliment since. It's the only time I've gotten this compliment. I don't think anybody really receives this compliment, but she said that you have a great energy. And I was extremely happy. I was so excited. She said, "Your energy is awesome. I love your energy." And then she went into how, as I stare at her, wondering why I got this unprecedented compliment. She goes into the fact that everybody has an energy. Some people's energy is good. Some people's energy is negative. And whether good or bad, we all have a unique energy. And we fill the room with our energy when we go into the room. Maybe we don't fill the room with our energy, but we add our energy to the room. And if your energy is positive, at least most people think your energy is positive, then whatever room you're in is simply a better room because you're in the room. And the same goes if you have a negative energy. I thought that was such a great compliment. Now, one thing that I believe about Mr. Donald Trump is that he just has a bad energy. Now, maybe he's a brilliant businessman. Maybe he's a brilliant person. Maybe he's brilliant enough to win a primary election and to compete so competitively, so intensely for the presidency. But if you make fun of mentally ill people, if you're accused of sexual harassment and accused of racism, if you refuse to accept the legitimacy of an election, if you're going to lose that election, if you say mean things, if people fight when they gather to support you, then we have to conclude that this is a negative energy. Now, what kind of energy do you want the room that is your country to feel like? Maybe that's just something to think about. Now, here we go, okay? I've got a very important man on the line. Now, we know what a city controller is, okay? We know what that is, and we're excited to have this very important city controller on the line. This is his third term as Philadelphia's chief fiscal watchdog. That's right. And he's focused mainly on exposing waste, fraud, and mismanagement throughout government while making recommendations to do more with less and saving taxpayers millions of dollars. He is said to have unprecedented efforts that have identified more than $800 million in potential revenues and savings for my city, the city of Philadelphia. Alan Butkovitz, how you feeling today?
Good, Eric. How are you?
Good, good, good. It's so good to have you.
Yeah.
All right.
So
how are you today? How's everything going, controlling the city with all you do fiscally?
We're very, very busy, and we've got a chance, as time goes on, to also be creative and be more in the problem-solving end of things instead of just watchdogging. But it's all really fascinating work.
Definitely. Now, as we crack down to business, I'm extremely excited that you took time out of your so important, significant, and busy schedule to join us on the Eric Terrell Show. I want to quickly begin with your overall reaction to first of all, what we've been learning today about how tight this race is, the fact that only 2 percentage points separate Mr. Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton. What's your overall view of it, and any reaction that you have to anything that I said to open the show, Mr. Butkovitz?
Oh, I think that's extremely frightening. I think this is the most important presidential election we ever had in the United States. I think that you calling Trump somebody who has negative energy is, to put it very mildly, I think really the future of democracy and of equality and actually the survival of the country is at stake here. I mean, there's a minimum threshold that you have to meet to be the president of the United States, and we're really talking about somebody who's only talking about himself all the time, who doesn't have a grasp of the seriousness of a lot of the issues, who has been condemned by people who are experts in national security as someone that cannot be entrusted with nuclear weapons and with the security of the country, with somebody who has attracted white supremacists and Ku Klux Klan and Nazi support, and seems to be in many ways following the demagoguery that was used by the Nazis. It sounds like an overstatement on all those points, but unfortunately, all those things are true.
Yeah. Now, this seems to be the biggest by default election of all time. It seems that everyone who wants to support Hillary Clinton has bigger reasons not to vote for Donald Trump than to vote for Hillary Clinton. And it seems like, on the other hand, that people who want Donald Trump to become president just don't want Hillary to become president. Now, why do you believe? We know that it's sad. We think it's sad. We think it's incredibly outrageous that this race is so close. But why do you think it's so close? Because what I want to talk about primarily is us moving beyond that negative energy. Can we get back to hope and faith and just good principles that create a better energy within our government? So what do we need to get beyond? What is the energy that we need to get beyond that's creating so tight of a race? If you know what I'm saying.
I think what we're going to need is that the political leaders and the leaders of the country are going to have to demonstrate that they've got real solutions for people's economic conditions, and that they're not just serving for a very small group of very, very rich people, but that they understand that society is changing very, very fast, and the economy is changing very, very fast, and people are generally having to adapt to being pushed downward. And it's the reason that this country has been the most successful democracy in human history is because they've had a deal with the public. We've had a full employment economy. People starting in the 60s and 70s were used to steady progress. We're used to the idea that their children would be in better shape than they are, and this is the first time that we're looking at a long-term downhill fall. And I think that the frustration of the voters is that they don't believe that anybody is really tackling what people feel is around the corner. Just started reading a book today called The Rise of the Robot, and it makes a very strong point about how quickly computer power is multiplying every year, doubling every 2 years. So it is expanding at a rate where it threatens the vast majority of jobs in the country. They're doing self-driving, they're testing self-driving trucks. Well, the people who are down at ground level understand that those are things that they are worried about, in addition to things like student debt, in addition to things like people who can't break into the job market to begin with, in addition to schools. And they're concerned that no matter what they do in the election, that downward trend continues. And I think the only way to reverse that is to really be working on ideas and working on getting agreement to make the changes that are necessary to have people share a middle class experience with her.
Yeah. Now, that's excellent. That's awesome insight. I definitely believe that had all everything that you say is really, really troubling, and that's really, I mean, the way our government is today is it really reflects the reasons why this race is so close. And it's funny because with the way the trend is going, we're gonna have a man named Donald Trump as president if we can't find a way to kind of reverse this trend. I mean, he's up 7% of seven percentage points in the polls in North Carolina, which is a pivotal place to be heavily considered to be the president. And his standing is increasing in our state, our home state of Pennsylvania, where Hillary is down from, I believe it was about nine percentage points. She was up in the polls yesterday. Today, I just saw on CNN that it was 4 percentage points that she's leading by. She's got 48%. Trump's got 44%. There's a trend happening. I don't know how it's happening. I don't know why it's happening, but it's happening. So can we move beyond Donald Trump? First of all, in order to move beyond him, we feel like we've kind of got to defeat him. Not allow him to become the president. And then once we get that out of the way, we can worry about moving beyond his energy. But what do you see anything interesting that's been happening recently with the trend? I know the emails have the email trial is going on, but what do you think is the biggest factor that contributes to the trend as of late, and do you think it'll continue, and why or why not?
Well, I mean, Philadelphia and the Philadelphia suburbs are supporting Hillary Clinton, and everybody else in Pennsylvania is supporting Trump in a very big way. So there's a big mission that has been put on our shoulders to produce a tremendous vote in Philadelphia in order to win Pennsylvania. And as you know, if you win Pennsylvania by one vote, you get 20 electoral votes, and Pennsylvania is a must-win state for Hillary Clinton. If she loses Pennsylvania, if Philadelphia turns in a disappointing vote performance, then Donald Trump is president. President Obama just said today that he's very disappointed that his base voters are not exhibiting the enthusiasm for voting in this election that they did for him, and that everything is at stake. Everything can be lost if that continues. Indications in the states that allow early voting indicate that there has been a drop-off in anticipated enthusiasm by African-American voters. And on top of it, there's this effort by Trump and his supporters threatening to send in armed vigilantes into Philadelphia specifically, into the inner city of Philadelphia, to try to scare people away from voting. you know, they're printing up their own badges and they're threatening to challenge people. I mean, they have no idea who lives in that neighborhood or not, and yet we just saw it in one of the national media today that there's an organized effort to provide that kind of provocation and that kind of intimidation. So I think as President Obama has been repeatedly saying in his rallies, don't boo, vote. And he is beginning to get
right.
under his skin because he's not sure everybody is hearing that message. And of course, now we've got the additional problem of the separatist strike. And the fact that, you know, it took us like 2.5 hours to get from my home into work yesterday. And the problem is that every day the strike goes on, people are adding possibly 5 hours to their commute. By the time it's gone on for a week, people are going to be just be exhausted. And they're really going to have to be convinced. In a way, part of the problem has been that people think that Hillary is going to win easily. So
right.
to some extent, it's helpful for people to start seeing the reality that it has always been a close election and that there's a real danger. People just can't believe that somebody like Donald Trump could possibly wake up being president, but the numbers
right.
show that it's true, and people have to have a sense of urgency that there's a lot at stake here, and come hell or high water, they just got to vote on Tuesday.
Right, right. Yeah, no, that's key. I think that lethargy the lethargy creates the apathy. I think that we get lazy because we really can't see that. I mean, even
the problem is that the people who are voting for Clinton all live near each other. As I said, in Philadelphia in the suburbs, people can't even imagine that anybody would vote for Trump. But I'm coming back from Harrisburg right now, and people throughout the rest of the state don't have anybody who's voting for Clinton. So one of the problems is that we've got this thing in our head that this is going to be an easy election, and it doesn't really matter. And in fact, it's not going to be an easy election. Ed Rendell just said the same thing today. He said Pennsylvania will be very close. So we all have to understand that we are competing with voters who might live 50 or 100 miles away, and we have to mobilize sufficiently to cancel out their votes. And it's hard for people to understand that they have that kind of competition when they don't see anybody around themselves who's voting that way.
Yeah, yeah. They just showed on the Situation Room with Wolf Blitzer on CNN that while Clinton has minor leads, and some major states, her leads are nowhere near the leads that Obama had in those states. It's a lot closer than many previous elections, and we know that the previous elections weren't even that much of a landslide themselves. I mean, Obama had to campaign his behind off. So we definitely, because in my opinion, Hillary Clinton is not as good as a campaigner as Barack Obama. She's not as good as he was. So she's going to need more from us than he needed. Now, we've got to do that. We've got to do that. So the last thing, Mr. Bukovich, that I'm going to ask you to do before I let you go. And I know that you're not a pastor. You're a city controller. But I'm going to ask you to preach to us for a second, if you can. Give us a little hope, okay? Give us some light at the end of the tunnel. Because, you know, this is why we get lazy. And we think that Donald Trump can't be president. We think that it's unrealistic. Because Barack Obama said himself a while back, it was months ago now, that he said that he doesn't believe that Donald Trump will be the next president because he has faith in the American people. It's exactly what he said. And I got to tell you, many days, today more than ever maybe, I tend to lose that faith. A lot of times I lose the faith in the American people. because why is this race so close? So what do we have to look forward to? What can we do? What do we have at our disposal? How can we make a difference? And just what can we do to help turn things around?
Well, I would say there was a famous rabbi once who said that it may be for this very reason that you were placed in your mother's womb and given life, that we happen to be living in Philadelphia at a time when Philadelphia is central to what's going to happen in this presidential election, and where the result is going to be the difference between good and evil, and turning back to a very hateful, prejudiced time in our country, and one that will be very dangerous. And that the power to affect that is actually in our hands. This is a battle that we're not going to be sitting on the sofa watching on TV. It's totally within our power. And that is the encouraging thing. This is something in all of our lives. This is a battle that it is going to be worth us getting up, going to the polls, talking to our neighbors, and working this election and making a difference. And Philadelphia will. Yeah, Philadelphia elected John Kennedy. Philadelphia was a big landslide for Barack Obama. And I think Philadelphia is going to elect Hillary Clinton. But there's no room for observers or spectators on this. If everybody does what they're supposed to, people will feel great next Monday knowing that they had a personal hand in keeping the progress in the country going and avoiding a really catastrophic situation.
If everybody does what they can do, then people will wake up feeling great next Wednesday, knowing that they did their part to avoid a catastrophic situation. That's exactly what we need to hear. And take that with you. Take that with you and do what you can to be the difference. Because you know what? A lot of people listening to the show right now can be the difference, as much as you think you can't be, because we do live in a swing, because most of our listeners, of course, are in Philadelphia, which is a swing city and a swing state. So we can make a difference, because if we make the difference in Philadelphia, that could make the difference in Pennsylvania, which could make the difference in the election. So let's do what we can here.
You just said you had a poll that showed Hillary ahead by 4 points in Pennsylvania. So that would be 20 votes at each polling place. So anybody puts their mind to it can affect 20 votes in their neighborhood. That's how close that election is.
Wow. Wow, that's very real. That's very real. that's tangible, even. Very tangible.
Yep.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Did you have something else?
No, I'm good.
It is a pleasure to finally meet you, Mr. Alan Budkovich, the Philadelphia City Controller. Thank you so much for everything that you do. It's a pleasure to finally meet you, albeit on the radio. You said some amazing things tonight, and you do an amazing job as the Philadelphia City Controller. I'll talk to you soon. I appreciate you.
Same here, Eric. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Listen here. You heard it here first, people. You heard it here first, okay? You can be the difference. Who knew a group of people in Philadelphia, a group of people in an urban city in Philadelphia putting out signs and working at the polls can just be the difference? Who knew that? Who knew that? And Pennsylvania controls 20 electoral votes. Electoral college votes, whatever the hell those things are called. Those are the things those are the things that we need, okay? So let's do something. Let's do something. Let's not just hope. Let's not just hope beyond hope that Donald Trump doesn't become president. Let's feel like we made that difference, because you heard it here first that you can very well make the difference, okay? Next week, we are continuing our election series. This is a 3-week series. Next week is the middle show of that 3-week series, and next week's show is going to be on Wednesday, the day that my show always airs, which will be the day after the election, okay? We will know who our next president is the next time you hear from us on the Eric Terrell Show. You will know. We will know. Who's that person going to be? I've got no idea. But I'll tell you what, I'm hopeful. I'm hopeful, okay? Let's do what we can. Let's make a difference. I love you people. I love you people. Give yourself a big hug for me, okay? Because I love you, all right? Now, love is the most important thing, obviously. Love yourself. Love other people. Love the truth and love love. It's not hard to love love. All you've got to do is love God because God is love. And God, well, God did it. You understand? I appreciate y'all.